from PRX.
Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is a little Valentine's Day TNG episode. I didn't realize how many Star Trek The Next Generation. Don't worry if you've never seen Star Trek The Next Generation before, but this is a really fun, like, this is one of my favorite ones. Because there's a couple where we get, like, really insights into Jean-Luc Picard and that go pretty deep. And so there's a lot of good ones. This is not the number one, but I think we may have run that as a repeat already, but this is probably number two deep Picard cut. But you could sleep right through it. No need to have any Earl Grey for this one. But, oh, by the way, if you're a TNG fan, we're working on something. If you listen to the ad-supported podcast, we're working on our own feed full of TNG episodes. And then if you support the show on Sleep With Me Plus, you have so much access now to TNG content split out. You know, you could get the story-only TNG content in one podcast or the ad-free TNG episodes. Or if you're a boar friend or a boar bestie, you get access to those compilation episodes. But stay tuned, because soon you might find a TNG a feed in your podcast app, your ad-supported podcast app, full of TNG episodes if you're a TNG super fan. So thanks, and good night, everybody. Oh, wait, this is the beginning of the show. So here's Scoots, right? I don't know. Oh, he'll be doing the PP, like the PP1, that's what I call it. Sorry, that's a very technical term. But this is like where I say, friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Or this came after that, probably best. Thanks, everybody. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who support the sponsors, who take action. That's how we're able to be here for you free twice a week, is those people. I know so many people enjoy this ad-supported linear show, and I'm so glad we get to do it for you, and it's with all these people's help. And I want to thank Josie, who signed up for a referral program. Josie already earned 3 months of ad-free episodes and story-only episodes on Sleep With Me Plus, referred 3 people to the show for free, just sharing about it on social media, letting people know about it. You could sign up and you could be like Josie. You just have to share on a regular basis. You earn referrals, you introduce people to the free podcast, and then you get the paid version of the podcast in return. And all you need to do is go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer and then let me know about it. So thank you, Josie. So that's the first part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. The second part is you getting the support you need right now. If you're in need of support right now, fill out, just go to the show notes. There's links to resources, including international resources you could connect with. It's also about being a part of positive change, taking action, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, but taking action, learning more. There's links to resources. We could do that in the show notes, or you could join some of the things we're doing, supporting the Midnight Mission and people experiencing homelessness in Los Angeles, supporting the Trevor Project, and supporting Hand in Hand. So wherever your heart is, wherever your heart aches, you could take action. You don't have to help us support one of those organizations, but you can, or you could go out there and support something else, you know, just to be a part of positive change. But you could always check out the show notes for more information if you want to support one of those organizations and join us. And that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Posty poster song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Lecture.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget, you want ad, you say, I'd prefer an ad-free experience. I prefer story-only episodes, but I want it for free. You could earn it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. You just introduce people to the free podcast, and you could earn months of ad-free episodes of Sleep With Me and story-only episodes of Sleep With Me on Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. What do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you only tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's things that you're thinking about, so thoughts, feelings, like either emotions that are traveling through you, or physical sensations, noises, changes in routine, travel, stormy weather, you know, that could be something like in the summer season. Whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off that. The safe place I'm going to try to create, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. I won't be tuning up. I don't know. I guess, like, I'm slightly out of tune. It's been that way. I guess because I'm not a musician. I'm both undertuned. Is it called overtuning and undertuning? This isn't a joke either. Like when you say, but you pluck the string and then you move, you know, whatever you go, bing, 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 and then you move it, boom, boom, boom. I mean, I know some people do that by ear and some people use a device. I mean, I would say I'm out of tune, but then I would never know. Like, I could be sitting there all day, like be like, okay, now I'm overtuned. Now you're undertuned. Too taut, not taut enough. T-A-U, that's a podcasty word, taut. Also, I guess that's a good end. If I wanted to talk, like, one of my aunt from taut, I thought I taught you how to tune this thing. I didn't realize that's a good N word for that particular voice. Anyway, so if you're new here, I've got a bunch of different techniques. No, they're all so ineffective that the I'm effective in my ineffectiveness. And I'm affectionately ineffective. That's the key to the podcast, to be honest. I try to bring some affection, some plutonic safe affection with plenty of boundary space. because I've been there, sleepless, so I know what it's like tossing and turning. In this podcast, it doesn't work for everybody. It's a little bit different, a little bit silly. Try to make bedtime a little bit less stressful and fun. And also take the load off. If you can't sleep, I'll be here the whole time. And my affection springs from that, to be like, geez, I know what it's like lying there. And if I could relieve that at all, it's totally my honor, because I've been there as a kid and as an adult. So if you're new, I guess that's it. Affectionate in affection, the Sleep With Me podcast. That doesn't make any sense. Exactly. Ineffective, affectionately ineffective, and ineffective, whatever. And I'm not even sure what invectives are, but I might have a few of those as well. But if you're new here, let me set the structure up for you. So the show opens with about 5 or 6 minutes of business, because we do that mostly at the top of the show and the credits, and that's how we keep the show free and the archives free. So essential part of listening, if you listen to more than one episode, if you're new, you know, not as important. Then we're like a few minutes into an intro, which usually the intro is around 12 minutes, to demonstrate my affectionate infectiveness, or, you know, maybe hopefully it is a little bit infective, you know, not like in the thought way. You say, okay, I can relax here. Scoots is trying to carry me off into dream. Well, I'm not actually carrying you off, like physically, like I'm more escorting you, and you can drift off across the threshold from wake to sleep whenever you're ready, or whenever you it just happens to happen. So the intro is kind of like a lot of people, some people use it while they're getting ready for bed. Some people fall asleep during it. Some people skip it. And some people listen to it during the day, or some people use it when they wake up in the middle of the night. So there's really no prescribed way to listen to this podcast. I mean, it's like, there's not a lot of shoulds around here. It's a podcast that you don't need to listen to. You only got to kind of listen. It's a podcast where I'm doing my best, but my best is affectionately ineffective. And you don't need to listen to it, but you're also under no pressure to fall asleep. That's why the shows are an hour, because I'm here to keep you company. I'm here to be your companion, your friend in the deep, dark night. And tonight we'll be talking about Star Trek The Next Generation, the episode The Tapestry. And there's a great quote in that episode at the very end, actually, because I said, why did they call this The Tapestry? And John Lucas says it at the end. He goes, he's talking about the past, which can come up at bedtime for a lot of us. And he goes, geez, there's parts of my youth I'm not proud of. Loose threads, untidy parts of me I would like to remove. Who can't relate to that, right? I don't know if you could hear that. My hands were clasped and my wrist cracked. I was so emphasizing that point. And I'm still clasping my hands. I don't know, I'm in a hand clasping mode. But when I pulled back to Jean-Luc, but when I pulled on one of those threads, it unraveled the tapestry of my life. And I'll tell you, for me at bedtime, it does feel like there's a lot of pulling of threads, like with the different parts of me. You see, okay, I'm ready to go to bed now. And all these little strings, they start pulling themselves. Hey, remember that? Remember this? Why didn't you do this today? You never got that done. You never follow through on that. What about tomorrow? Oh boy, let's think about that. Don't mess that. You know, all these different, like a litany of string pulling. I like using the word litany every few. I just like that word. I don't know why, but anyway, like where it's a lot of things tugging at your, not just your thoughts, but your feelings, and somatically for me, like my physical body almost. And that causes the tossing and turning, which causes it like, well, should I try to resolve these problems? Should I just tell my brain to be quiet? Like for me, that's the rabbit hole I descend down. This podcast offers an alternative. Like, let's take a breath here and picture just a fuzzy, friendly rabbit, because you could listen to me and follow my rabbit, like, because you hear about these rabbit dens. And I hear they have a lot of twists and turns, but they also have nice den-like areas that are nice and warm where all the rabbits can snuggle and rest. And ideally, the story and the intro both do that. Like, so I'll be talking about Star Trek coming up in a few minutes. But I'll go on a twist. I'll go on a tangent. I'll over-explain. I'll slow down. I'll talk about the dialogue. At any point, you might say, well, I'm not going to follow Scoots. And, you know, I'm going to check out this. Look at all those. I wonder if I could put my head on that rabbit's side. Oh, this is nice here. Nice rabbit breath. And ideally, you don't even notice. You're listening to me. You stop thinking or you've been distracted. As you think about, like, how about, I wonder if they sell any tapestries of Jean-Luc Picard, because I would like to have one of those on my wall, especially one, or actually on the wall of my castle. That would be cool. If you had a castle and then you have a tapestry of Jean-Luc Picard, like, that is, I don't know if that's, is that meta or ironic? I don't know, but it would be cool. You'd have it in your, like, the Great Hall. You say, yeah, this is, what's that giant tapestry on? What was Jean-Luc Picard, Enterprise, you know, to Star Trek The Next Generation? And yeah, in the Halls of Heroes, they have other tapestries of, you know, Data, Worf, Roe, Riker, Guinan, you know, all my peeps. They say, okay, interesting. And I say, yeah, I like a little bit of, like, I like to live in a castle with tapestries from modern TV shows. So, yeah, where do you buy your tapestries? Well, I like tapestries. That's where I usually shop. That's where I like to do most of my tapestry purchases. I guess I got off tangent there, but I was on a tangent. But so if you're new here, that's the structure of the show. We talk about The Next Generation on Sundays. On Tuesdays, we have like a bedtime story or something like a bedtime story. And then Thursdays, we have like a bedtime story based on that's part of an episodic series. And this podcast is a little bit different than other bedtime stories. Bedtime stories for grownups, just my particular brand of bedtime story, which is like a oddball, meandering, if ineffective, it maybe has invectives, but it's infectiously, hopefully, like the boar giggles part are like infectious, where you say, wow, like, think about it, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are listening to this at the same time you are. So you're not alone. And while not everybody that's listening might be dealing with the same thing you are, almost everyone that listens is struggling somehow with either getting enough sleep or getting rest or just feeling a sense of safety and quiet. So as alone as it can feel, you know, there's a lot of other people right this moment listening to my voice right now that are with you in some way. And so I don't know if that helps. I thought that was one of the words that rhymes with infective or vective. Connective. It's connective. It is. And most of those people like me can relate to how it feels. We may not know exactly what it is, but we can relate. And that's why I make this show, because I tried other stuff for me. Like, you know, all the other sleep stuff. And I said, geez, why isn't there something a little bit like I'm a bit of a goofball. Why is there something like that? And I said, well, I have fun telling stories like that. Let me try it and see if I can put people to sleep. And it took a few hundred episodes, I think, to get a good groove on. But we worked our way there. And some people have been along for the whole ride. And if you're new, I'm glad you're here. You know, give the show a few tries. It doesn't work for everybody, like I said. But most of the people that write reviews say, geez, after the second or third time, you know, I was able to let down my guard and it started helping me out or made me smile, or I couldn't fall asleep, but I could listen to it and it kept me company in the deep, dark nights. So whatever it is, like I say, almost every intro, I'm glad you're here. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. So thanks so much for coming by. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. There's an Air Doctor humming in the other room right now. You can't hear it, but I know it's there. And I know it's going to be smoky season here in the Bay Area. Not to mention they live by a freeway and a cement plant. And so I love the peace of mind and the easy use that the Air Doctor brings because it just works. It's one of those things, it just works. And you may hear me say this, and I mean it. I love my Air Doctor because Americans spend 90% of our time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. And according to the EPA, indoor air can be as much as 100 times more polluted than outdoor air. And just in my house, that's about 60,000 breaths a day between my daughter, my dog Koa, and I. And I'm so happy. Air Doctor filters out dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, and mold, so my lungs don't have to. Neither do your lungs. And the things I love about Air Doctor, one, it has a night mode where you could turn off all the lights. It has auto mode, or you could set the fan speed for what works for you. And I like to have my hair cleaned everywhere, in my room, in my daughter's room, and upstairs in our living room. I really believe you'll love it as much as I do. And they have a bunch of amazing options too now. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. So head to airdoctorpro.com and use the promo code SLEEP, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. And exclusive to podcast customers, you will receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody.
All right, here we are. We're talking episode season 6, episode 15. It came out February 15th, 1993. And I was trying to think what I was doing. That's right around my birthday. That's why I was like, what was I doing February 13th, 1993? It was up to no good. I may have been in Buffalo visiting someone. And but I'm not positive. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about Picard and Q. A Q episode without a Q in the title. And I didn't read any articles about this episode because I don't want to spoil myself. But, I guess it's more of a Picard-centric episode. But there's a lot of Q, and it's a blast from the past. And again, this episode opens mid-action, as we have a couple times every season, it seems like. They're in the med bay. Very medical procedural action. I don't know what year ER started. I don't know if that was late 90s or mid 90s or early 90s. Eric LaSalle, George Clooney, Juliana I can't say her last name. Goose from Anthony. Oh boy, I'm sorry, Anthony. Goose. I'm sorry to call you Goose, but actually, I think I also liked you in Revenge of the Nerds. So that's why Anthony Edwards, of course. Thanks, Brain. That was a TV. Here's a little factoid. George Clooney was in two shows named ER. There was also a situational comedy called ER with the subtitle It'll Leave You in Stitches. A lot of times I think these situational comedies are dreams because the only time I saw this ER was when I would be sick home from school on reruns on like the Lifetime channel or some random network like WOOR or something. Or, you know, one of the, like, cable channels you'd rarely tune into. They had a couple good situational comedies on during the day, reruns, and ER was one of them. And George Clooney was on that. It's just a fact. You can look it up. But you know, it could be a fugue stated. That has happened before. But, oh, boy, what an episode. Opens in action, as I said. Dr. Crusher's putting on a turquoise lab coat or doctor's coat, which is the first time I noticed that. But I mean, you know, many things have passed me by. Everyone's in prep mode. Number four, they're coming in through the number four energizing room or whatever. What is it called? The transporter room number four coming in now. And they come in, Worf's cradling Picard in his arms, because he said, well, he's so overtired. He was being pouty. Riker has a phaser out. Like, they come in, like, they were transported out right in mid-action with three other crew members. Again, I haven't watched these episodes continuously, so I don't know what's happened with Worf, but this is the first time I noticed he has a ponytail, which I don't think was always the case. So I assume there is a plot point that explains that I missed. They lay Picard down. They ran into some Lenarians. A bad conference. Bad Lenarian conference. Compressitarians is what they were dealing with. And let's see. Compressitarian beam. Crusher's really working hard while Picard takes a rest. And there's building music, and then the camera starts zooming from above, showing Picard lying down. Then it fades to white. And when it fades back again, it's like iridescent white, and Picard's looking around. Everything around him is white, like he's inside a cloud. And there's sort of like an iridescent figure with arms open at a distance. Very luminous, and who is it but our good friend Q, who holds out his hand for Picard to shake. And Picard takes his hand, and Q basically says, the camera, I think, he takes his hand and he pulls into Q. I don't know if the camera Picard did that. And Q says, welcome to the big farm in the sky, Jean-Luc Picard. And this is unintentional that these themed episodes keep coming up, but it just been taking recommendations. But Picard and Q, then the episode opens, and Picard and Q are holding hands, but Picard pulls his hand back. And then I'll read through the dialogue, but his father appears and scolds him at some point. Q's iridescent look reminds me of like a character from one of the Tron movies, just the level of glow. His father again is not pleased. Then there's more and more voices. I got to say something about John Delancey's hair here. Looks gorgeous. Man, his hair looks good this episode. Probably the best head of hair I've ever seen on a member of the Continuum today. But no, really, like I said, it just struck me enough to write it down. I said, man, his hair looks great. Something ahead. Picard looks down. Q toss. Oh, okay, heart. Okay, we'll get to the dialogue. So, Picard, Q says, welcome to the big farm. And Picard says, this isn't the bit, you know. And he goes, yeah. By the way, I'm your higher power. And Picard goes, no. And then Q says, blasphemy. Don't make me smite you. And he goes, you know, don't you remember with that conference they sent you? They said, go do some research on the big farm, the Tenarians or something. And Picard says, I refuse to believe the afterlife is run by you. The universe is not so badly designed. And then his dad comes by. He says, don't go off to the academy, Jean-Luc. Starfleet's not going to be any good for you. But you never listen to me anyway. You're, you know, Mr. Big Shot. And he goes, don't you know, like, I'm your internal critic. I'm trying to protect you from this kind of stuff. And Picard says, stop. And then the dad still says, you've still managed to disappoint me, Jean-Luc. And then there's a bunch of building voices, as I said. And Q says, these are all the people you let down. And Picard says, what do you mean? And Q goes, you know, butterfly wings, bro. Your butterfly wings have let all these people down. Nice job. Do you want to do one apology or multiple ones? Because they're all listening. And Picard says, I'm not going to perform for your amusement. And Q goes, this moment's for you. And Picard goes, you don't do anything. You've got something, you know, he goes, for the benefit of my soul. And Q goes, well, now that you've shuffled off the mortal coil, we're going to have plenty of time to spend together. And Picard goes, oh, boy, like what? And Q goes, are you forever? Are you sure you don't have any regrets? And Picard goes, yeah, regret being here with you. And, you know, Q plays faux dramatic, you know, oh, John, Luke, you hurt my feelings. And again, I haven't seen all these episodes, so I didn't know Picard has an artificial heart. You know, I thought he had a heart of gold, but he has an artificial heart. And Q's like, that malfunctioned, unreliable technology. And Q goes, I never heard the story of what, you know, what's up with this thing. And Picard was like, mistake I made when I was a kid. And then we, let's see, let me get back to this. Yeah, when he throws the heart, he tosses the artificial heart to Picard. Picard looks down when he brings it up. And he says, I regret a great many things, really. Then we see young Picard kind of, like when he loses his heart, like it's with a Nausicaan. Like Princess Nausicaa, I don't know if it's the same thing, but he loses his heart. He laughs when his feelings are, when he's sad about his heart from Cupid, you know, who took it. Because Cupid says, I'm from Nausicaa, we're taking, you know, this is figurative, not really, but, and you see the younger Picard, there's like an actor playing a younger Picard, dashing his H-E-C-K. And as he's lying there, Picard kneels down and looks at his younger self, and he goes, geez, I wonder if I could do things differently. And Q goes, well, maybe what if I, and Picard goes, yeah, it's really a different person, arrogant, undisciplined, and too much ego, too little wisdom, a bit like you, Q. And Q goes, yeah, it sounds way more interesting. Pity you had to change. And Q goes, if you had to do it all over again, Picard goes, things would be different. And then next thing you know, Picard's in, let's see, how does this transfer happen? I think Picard, like, holds his hand to his face, and then he's in a room with a woman who's just kind of rejected him. And he's holding his hand to his face, and the camera zooms in on him, and then they cut to commercial. And then when they come back, there's two blue thermoses on one of the tables. That's the first thing I noticed when they came back. Picard's hand is on his face. As a woman walks off, his two roommates or best friends clap, a male and a female. I liked his roommate. Has like a Starfleet belt buckle. So sweet. It looks like a giant A almost. His male roommate, really cool. And Picard's so happy. He's like tickled pink. And he talks to his roommates. They're like, what has happened? He goes, oh, no, more trouble in romance. He can't believe they call him Johnny. And Picard is very, he goes, Marta Batiandes or whatever. He says, and she goes, are you okay? He goes, well, just I'm a little out of it. And Corey, that's the other dude's name. He goes, Johnny just wants your sympathy. He goes, we're going to go to the casino. You want to come? And Picard says, I'll catch up. And then Marta says, are you okay? He goes, And then Corey says, he's got another date, maybe. And she goes, you're incorrigible. And then Q appears. He's holding, like, a pointer. Or is it a stick? He's very curious about Picard's dating life. And Picard's 21 years old at this. Picard looks at himself in the mirror. He's a regular, the Jean-Luc we know. But I guess he's 21 years old. Then Q sits down at like a chess-like game that's made from crystals. And they kind of talk about history because Picard says, geez, I don't want to mess up history. Don't you know all the rules? And he goes, I can't change the past. It'll change the future. And Picard goes, your ego is out of control. He goes, you're not that important. And Picard goes, I'm not going to alter history. And Q goes, well, I promise you won't alter history. How's that sound? Nothing you do will alter history. And he goes, you know where you are? And he goes, Starbase Earhart, I guess Amelia Earhart. He goes, this is where we're waiting for our assignments. And Q says, this is when you and the Nausicaans run across each other. Do you think you're going to change things? Oh, when he said he called Picard's ego out, he used his pointer to sweep off the chessboard. He goes, very well, like when Picard says, I won't alter history. Also, 1305, Q's face as he says, of course, just at a later time. Because Picard says, do you think I'm going to go on to the big farm, or will that stop that? And he says, of course, just at a later time. Then Picard starts asking, or Q starts asking Picard about his dating life, which was funny. And then Picard's like, geez, I'm waiting. He goes, what time is it? It is 16:11, which is 4:11, I believe. And Picard's late for a date. I said, he makes dates at 4:11 or 4 p.m., which really throws me off. And then he's at a bar. I couldn't tell the age range here. Really all was throwing me off. He's at the bar with a woman named Penny who looks like she's much older than 21, like maybe, I don't know, 28 or 30 or something. And it also just seemed like I was like, is this a date or a professional visit? And she has very long earrings on. And Picard's like, aren't we going to get down to the kissing business? And Picard goes, well, I feel contemplative. And she goes, well, that's not why I'm here. I'm here. And he goes, well, I'm interested. And she goes, well, I'm from Rigo. My last name's Morak, and I like men in uniform, and I'm done talking. And then she goes in for a kiss. And then she goes, what am I, not, like, were you drunk last night or something? And Picard says, you're a very handsome woman. She goes, is that what you say to older women? And he goes, you don't look like an older woman. And then she throws a drink in his face because she says, geez, skip whatever. And Q's behind the bar, like cleaning a cup, and he throws the rag at Picard. And he says, puerile, which we learned before. I think we talked about that before, but whatever. And then there's like a Dom Jot game going on. Which is kind of like a somewhere between snooker and pool. And they're getting a lot of cheers, or bumper pool, maybe two. And Picard's buddy, Corey, is kind of doing his best Color of Money. I don't know if Color of Money had come out yet. I think it had. He's doing his best Color of Money, Tom Cruise impression. And then I really like the Nausicaans talk. They go, play Dom Jot Human. They're very... Like high in testosterone style, but they're egging Corey on to play them in Dom Jot, and then it zooms into Picard. They go to the commercial, and then we see his buddy Corey has taken a bet with the Nausicaans, and Picard tries to talk him out of it. He goes, "This isn't it. Nausicaans are jerks. You know, you don't really want to play. You don't want to play them." And let's see. Then we see Q in the background. He's lounging against a barrel and watching. And Picard kind of lays out what's going to happen. I forgot when he's with Penny, Q says, Penny, for your thoughts. I forgot about that pun. But Picard basically says, geez, Corey's going to lose, and he's going to they're cheating, and then he's going to cheat them back, and that's why all this trouble starts. And he goes, and so I didn't take the sensible side, I took my friend's side. And Q goes, that's a beautiful story. Get you right here. And he taps his heart, you know. Another pun. A lot of puns in this with Q. And then the Domjack game's getting really intense. And Corey loses because Naskin says Domjack. When you win, I guess you say Domjack. Human. Human play Domjack. He says that again. Then we go back to the dorm room or their, you know, I guess it's more of a barracks room. Very nice. More like a dorm room. And Corey tries to do like a little bit of Han Solo here or something. Cause he says, I played a lot of Domjack in a lot of places and I've never seen the balls roll that well for anyone. Just reminded me of a line from something, but I wasn't sure what, and Corey goes, I'm going to cheat back. And Picard goes, no, 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 you can't do that. No way. And Picard says, no way. Then Marta intervenes. Picard seems a little down maybe, but then there's love in the air. Like between, you can see like Corey leaves, he storms off. Because he's like, you're not going to help me cheat. And Picard goes, no, we're officers now. We got to start acting like it. And even, yeah, that's when Marta like is like, don't worry about it. So he storms off and they just share a moment looking at each other. And Picard goes, what's wrong? And she goes, well, usually you'd be the one up to no good. And Picard goes, yeah. And she goes, I always thought you were a hidden responsibility. And they go back and forth, you know, geez, maybe I'm getting older. She says, maybe it's these bars, you know, that are feeling heavy. And Saint Picard and Ensign Batandas sounds weird. And she goes, Jesus, too bad we couldn't get used to this new life together. And she goes, I mean, the three of us, Corey too, totally. And then there's a moment, I guess, did I write down the timestamp for this? Because it is hilarious. I didn't. But I'll tell you it in a minute. It's coming up on the one that's playing. But the doorbell rings and Q comes in. And he goes, and my daughter's still saying this. She goes, is there John Luke Picard here? And he totally kills the moment, you know, because it was definitely getting romantic. And this is very 80s rom-com. Like we had Some Kind of Wonderful, Pretty in Pink. What's the one with the guy, McDreamy or whatever, McSteamy? One of those, what's that, Dream a Little Dream? Is that the one he's in? The one with what's that one with that Reese Witherspoon's in one, I think. So there's a lot of these like rom-coms that are based on what is it, Pygmalion? I think is the original. I mean, this is a little different. This is when you're in love with your best friend and you just got to notice him. But so, Q comes in as a flower delivery person, ruins the moment. He's got like a great outfit on, like a red bow tie, and he plays Cupid with, what does that mean? Let me check the, I just want to get to the right timestamp for you here. It's about 22:34. He even dances kind of inside to side, really funny. Great, great, great moment. Please, Cupid. Let's see. So, oh yeah, he goes, geez, I didn't interrupt anything sordid, did I? And Picard goes, no. And Q goes, pity, she's quite attractive. And Picard goes, we're only friends. And Q goes, is that a regret from our youth, I hear? And Picard goes, my friendship isn't a regret. And he goes, no, 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 no. You know what I mean. More than friends, like a kissy, kissy. He goes, maybe you could change that. I'm like, Q, are you living vicariously through Jean-Luc? And Ricard goes, what do you want? And Ricard goes, your buddy, Corey's messing with the table. He's cheating anyway. So he tattletales on him. Then we see Picard, Johnny rolls up behind him. He goes, I got to stop you. And Corey's not happy about it. and they go back and forth, and Picard actually puts a hand on his shoulder. He goes, this is no joke. You're not cheating. I'll tell on you if I have to. And Corey says, have it your way, Ensign Picard. He's really not happy. And then there's music, you know, to underscore that. Then we're back in the dorm room. Picard's pacing. Marta's on her bed. She's kind of in her, like, not in her uniform anymore, like in her hangout clothes. Like, so this is, again, I think this is a little bit of an 80s rom-com. I think it particularly, like, Some Kind of Wonderful. I don't really even know if I even saw that. I think that was, like, the best friend that I had the biggest crush on. And, like, I think I always thought Eric Stoltz was pretty cool, too. And I think they had the biggest hit song, maybe. Maybe not, though. Maybe they're unrelated. And which one was, which one, again, I just said this 5 minutes ago. And I guess it doesn't matter. Okay, where were we? Where were we here? Okay, so yeah, okay. Also a couple things. So she's sitting on the bed, Marta. Picard's pacing, worrying about Corey. We get a couple of cool shots out their window where there's like a set or a painting, like a matte painting with a giant building and some sort of station. And lights really looked good. I mean, it just added a little bit. Unless the building was like very vault-like, it just made me curious. But they're talking, and then Picard sits on her bed. They're talking next to each other, and they have like full constant eye contact and big smiles. And they both have beautiful eyes. I noticed it. I guess that's the only way to say it. Both characters or both actor and actress have beautiful, beautiful eyes, very different colors, but both in the blue, gray, maybe not. Let me like check John Luke's eyes. Marta's eyes are very like gray, blue and beautiful. I guess John Luke are more of a gray, green, or maybe, I don't know. I'm watching right now. It's on my phone, so I can't see right as good. Also, for TP fans, Marta's rocking a little bit of an Audrey Horne style, you know, I guess it was the same time period. Like, she has a Audrey Horne style look to her, which to me is kind of like a 1950s femme fatale, a little bit. Not in the character, just in, I don't, never mind, I'm digging myself a hole of... But they're lacking eye contact, and you could tell they're greatly attracted to one another. And she says, geez, you're so much more mature. It's very attractive. And she goes, have you ever thought about us getting together? And they gulp, like there's a big gulp. And Picard says, yeah, I've thought about it for a long time. And she goes, why didn't you ever say so? And Picard goes, I don't know. At this moment, I don't, he says, and then they just start kissing. And because this is grown-up business, they skipped the grown-up business part, but it goes straight to the grown-up business. I was watching this with my daughter, too. So I was gulping, wondering what was going to happen next. And when Picard says, I don't know, at this moment, he was almost whispering, I put Make Out City double exclamation point. Then it's the next morning. Picard's in Marta in a bed. And there's another person that reaches over to like rub his ear, and it's Q. And it's just a great reveal. Very fun. And there's also on the headboard of her bed, Marta's bed, is like this prism sculpture thing that I really liked a lot. And Picard kind of rolls over. He's shirtless to look at Marta, and it's Q. After tickling his ear, he's got a big smile on. He pulls his sheets up over his chest, and then he finally lowers his blanket once he starts to feel comfortable. Because Q goes, geez, what's going on? You're feeling guilty? You feeling good? He goes, no, I'm feeling fine. And Q goes, are you sure? And he goes, yeah, we're just friends, nothing more. Picard goes, don't worry about it. And Q goes, really, you're just friends. And Q goes, well, what's up next? And Picard goes, well, things are going to be different now. And Q goes, oh, I'm sure about that. And then he vanishes. And then, let's see, lowers the blanket, I don't know. They totally share a moment, it seemed like, with that. Then Picard walks into, like, the bar again. The bar's very dungeon-like, I noticed. And he tries to kiss Marta on the forehead, and she's having some second thoughts. She's also eating some sort of potatoes or space eggs, and drinking out of, like, a tin cup. Almost at first I thought it was a tankard. I don't know if it's some sort of table side barbecue for breakfast, but Picard tries to take her hand, or he does take her hand. And she says, kind of think it was a bad idea. And Picard goes, I don't think so. And she goes, well, we're friends and now our friendship's messed up. And Picard goes, maybe you shouldn't think about it. And she goes, well, I wish I could. And we're separating tomorrow and going on our assignments. It would have been way easier if I didn't have to think about this. But these are predicaments we just naturally seem to put ourselves in as human beings. And Picard goes, geez, I wish I didn't, he feels uncomfortable. He feels uncomfortable making her uncomfortable. And he goes, maybe one of us should skip the party, the end of the goodbye party. And she goes, no, we planned it. I'll be there. And then she leaves, and then Q shows up again, and Marta's very, she had, like, tears in her eyes. Picard was very stoic, but what was hilarious is, like, after Marta leaves, you see over Picard's shoulder, Q sitting at another table. He's in, like, a maroon, like, a velour suit with a gray, like, fur vest. And he's eating, like, endive or something, like a rabbit. He's eating, like, a leafy green from the stem, just like a rabbit would. He takes a big bite of it. And then we cut to the goodbye party. It's just Corey, Marta, and Jean-Luc. Q also says, geez, you managed to alienate your friends. You're doing really great. Try not to lose your heart. It seems like you might have already. But we see the goodbye party is very glum and awkward. And they're back at the same table where the same potatoes, I think, are cooking. The Nausicaans roll in. They say, play Damjad Uhuman. We'll give you a bigger stick. And they say, no, Picard goes, no, not going to be any of that. And the Nausicaan says, they're Undari, cowards. And Corey doesn't like that. And then they say, you have no Grumba. And Corey's like, why don't we find out? And Picard goes, no, let's just make peace here. And then they say something about Marta. And Picard, pushes Corey out of the way. And Corey can't believe it. He goes, I don't know who you are anymore, but you're not my friend. And then Marta says, she goes, goodbye, Johnny. And they leave. And then Q's standing there, and he goes, congratulations, you did it, mon capitan. You did it. And then we see the Enterprise, and we're on the bridge, and Worf is talking. Picard's in a green suit. He goes, can I help you, Mr. Picard? Mr. Picard, note. And Data's looking out in the background. It's Picard's mixed up. He goes, Mr. Worf, and he has, like, an iPad, and Worf looks at him. He goes, this is for Commander LaForge. And Picard's like, what? And Worf goes, is there something wrong? And he goes, I'm not sure. Picard says, I'm not sure. What's my rank? And Worf goes, Lieutenant Junior Grade, Assistant Astrophysics Officer. And Data's very concerned. He goes, geez, are you feeling all right? And Picard goes, who's the captain of the ship? He goes, Thomas Holloway, which sounds familiar. So I definitely don't know who that is, but I do. And Data goes, maybe I should take you down to sick bay. And Picard goes, no, I can find my way down there myself. And Picard walks into med bay. He goes, Beverly, you're not going to believe this. And then who's sitting at Beverly's desk but Q? And he says, well, in like a fake German accent. What seems to be the trouble, Lieutenant Picard? And Q's in a doctor's outfit. He even has the round thing that doctors wear on their heads, Bugs Bunny used to, with the strap. He's carrying a report. Oh, no, this is later. What does that mean, carrying a report? Yeah, but Picard says, what have you done? He goes, what you wanted. You're back at the present. You changed the past for you. You changed your past, who you were as a youth, and now you're the man you are today. You should be happy. You got a real heart, and you can live out the rest of your life in safety, running tests and making analysis and giving reports to your superiors. And then he disappears, and Picard has like a great, he sighs or breathes and has this great feeling of regret and awkwardness. Then there's an ad. Then Picard walks into 10 forward, and Riker and Troy are drinking some amber liquid together. And Picard really looks awkward. I really enjoyed how out of sorts he kind of looks. And then he sits down and he goes, I'd like to tell you about my future. And it, even this is great acting, because Troy's like, well, maybe I should go. He goes, no, I want to hear your thoughts too. And he goes, I want you to be straightforward with me. How do you think I am as an officer? And they kind of look at each other and they're like, And Troy says, well, geez, you get good reports. You're thorough and dedicated. And Riker says, steady, reliable. They're really at a loss. Punctual. And Picard's like, punctual. Oh, great. And Picard goes, what if I had bigger plans? You know, what advice do you think I could be? I could move up the ladder. And Riker goes, this is probably not the best place to talk about this. And Picard goes, well, I'd like to talk about it right now. He goes, I'd like to, you know, change over. You know, I'd like to learn to engineering or security and go all the way to command. And Riker goes, frankly, it's not realistic, bro. And he goes, why? He goes, and then Troy goes, this isn't the place to discuss this. And Picard goes, well, it's important. I believe I can do more. And then Troy gets real with him. She goes, that's your problem all along. You have these lofty goals, but you've never been willing to take the risks to attain them. And Riker says, Riker, what do you think? He goes, yeah, I have to agree. He goes, you got to take chances, man. And also, I really liked Troy's shirt, her one, like it had a, she was wearing gray, but it had this purple V around the neck. And the material looked nice. It really, like, it was striking. And they're like, maybe we could talk about this another time. It just goes back and forth. A lot of awkward looks. They get called, like, also on the table is like a clock radio. But then they get called for a senior officers meeting. Picard almost gets off or gets up. There's like a pyramid clock radio on the table. And then Picard's on the lift because Geordi calls him. He's like, dude, where's that report, bro? You got to get down here. And he's on the lift alone, go to main engineering. He's looking very sad and frustrated. And he says, you really got me, Q. You think you're going to make me live out the rest of my life as a dreary man and a tedious job? You win. And the lift opens and there's the spiritual Q. With his hands on his hips, all iridescent. He goes, I gave you a second chance, and now all you do is complain. And Picard goes, I can't live out, like, I can't be that person bereft of passion and no imagination. It's not me. And Q goes, au contraire, that's who you wanted to be. You wanted to take away the arrogance of youth and be less like Q. And he goes, you wanted to, you know, not deal with the Nausicaan. And he goes, so that's the Picard that we see now. No brush with Nausicaans, real heart. Didn't realize how fragile things were or how important every moment is. Never put his life in focus. He drifted around. So this is like the life lesson part of the episode, you know, drift around, you know, didn't deal with the Malika IV, save the ambassadors, or, you know, take over the Stargazer Bridge. He goes, and no one offered him a command ever because he played it safe. And Q's like kind of right up in his face when he says that. He goes, never noticed by anyone. And Virgo goes, she's your right, Q. You gave me a chance to change, and I took it. But it was a mistake. I made a mistake. And Q is walking away, and then he turns around, and he goes, are you asking me for something, Jean-Luc? He goes, yeah, give me, put me back. I want to go one more time back. And Q goes, well, you know it's a risk. And Picard goes, well, I'd rather be at the big farm as the man I was than be live that life. And so then we, and Q is very Tron-like, very serious looks. Then they go back to the bar on No Gramba. And Picard goes postal, and there's like an 80s action scene, 80s action bar scene with Marta and Corey and Jean-Luc and the Nausicaans doing all sorts of, you know, action moves. Lots of, my daughter said, lots of stage things. She liked it. She said, this is awesome. But she's a kid. She doesn't watch very much action movies. Picard something. Oh, Picard laughs again. He's like as he, because Cupid shows up and says, oh, let me take your love away. And we go back, as he's laughing, we go back to an overhead shot at the med bay. And Picard is laughing, lying, taking a nap in the med bay, smiling. And they say, Jean-Luc, you're back. He goes, oh, yeah, I'm here. So good to be back. And they said, you're going to be okay. And then we go to the close episode, and Picard and Riker are having a heart-to-heart. Picard's touching all his fingertips together, and they go to Picard, goes, I don't know if it was a dream or what, and Riker Q's tricks, and Riker goes, oh, you know, you never know, when you're near the big farm, there's strange things happen, but it's pretty detailed, And Picard's like, I can't believe Q would give me a second chance or be compassionate. So if it was Q, I owe him an apology or a debt of gratitude. And Riker says, in what sense? And Picard goes, well, he goes, there's many parts of my youth I'm not proud of. And he goes, those were loose threads, untidy parts of me that I wanted to remove. But when I pulled on those threads, it unraveled the tapestry of my life. And we get the opening, the closing. It gives us the, and then Riker cracks up, though, because he says, I can't believe a young Jean-Luc messing with Nausicaans. He goes, I would have liked to hang with that Jean-Luc. And Picard starts telling old stories. He goes, oh, that wasn't the first Nausican trouble I had, bro. He goes, let me tell you about my sophomore year when I was on Morkan 5 or 6, he goes, there was a Nausicaan, and he goes, outlying asteroids. Oh, he goes, sit back, Riker. But yeah, so they, like, the close gives us the title and, like, the kind of meaning of the episode, and it comes to an end. A very good episode, and it had some nice moments. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts. I want to thank Justin TH from the U.S., full of yes. This podcast is soporific, however you say that word, sleepy. It delivers on the promise to gentle, put you to sleep every freaking night. Thank you. Well, thanks, Justin. How about Arbraith? Can't sleep? This podcast, the best way to beat stress, anxiety in the world. At last, he, when trying to get some good sleep and recharge, listen every night, and it's changed the quality of rest I get. Please try. Thank you. How about this one? Zimbalina, 13. Lucky number 13. Little Zimbalina. The Zimbal that danced. So soothing. I fall asleep every time I listen to this podcast. I haven't made it through a total episode. His voice is so soothing. I love listening to him talk. Well, thank you. Here's another funny one. Quaalude 76 from Ireland. Can't help but nod off. Love this podcast. Knocks me out cold every time. Even 4 a.m. Plagued with thoughts. Wide awake. Slap it on. Put your phone on for 20 minutes and that's it. Snoozy time. And how about AF 1212? Perfect. I feel hypnotized every time I listen. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you. So thanks to everyone who reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts, over on YouTube. Thanks to everybody that is checking out those long episodes on YouTube. Sherry, thanks. Lizzie Dashter, thank you. Justin C., Jason C., Ty D., thank you and good night. Cupid, Thank you and good night. Andrea W., thanks and good night. C. Steele, thank you and good night. Nora R., thank you and good night. G. A., thanks and good night. Susan K., thanks and good night. C. Roy, thank you and good night. Pretty N., thanks and good night. Cupid, again, thanks and good night. T. War, Popcorn, thanks. Brooke, thank you. Osa, thank you. Adriana, thank you. Lisa, thanks. Stacy, thank you. Ralthon, thanks. Chrissy K., thank you. David D., thanks. Little Masha, thanks. Ann P., thank you. CO, thanks. Teresa, thanks a lot. Chloe, thanks. Allie, Charlie, thanks and good night. Legendary, thanks. Idol, thank you. Joshua N., thanks. Navy, thank you. Tracy B., thanks. Billy with an IE, thank you. Bolts, Bob, thanks and good night. Oh, Bob didn't like it, actually. Gabby, thank you. Free G., thank you. Boris, thanks. Alone, thank you. Tori, thanks. Stephanie, Murphy, Mel, thank you. Anime, thank you. Sophia, thanks. Thanks and good night, everybody, for the support. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all intros. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalix, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. This is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.